I grew up to two Lebanese immigrants, and so around the house, my parents would play a lot of different kinds of music. I grew up in a very musical house, but one thing that they always made sure to play, of course, was Arabic music, and a lot of that was coming from the mid 80s, the 90s and the 2000s, and so that music has kind of stayed with me. But for me, I always kind of heard it either with other family members who also understood kind of the lyrics and the cultural nuances of the songs, friends who also had, Arab roots and that kind of thing, and kind of left it at that. But lately, in the last few years, the last 3 to 5 years in particular, in my opinion, we're seeing more and more people who maybe don't have, formal roots to the region, or maybe don't even speak Arabic, for example. They're listening to our artists. And so I want to explore that a little bit more because I never would have thought in my lifetime that I would see such a thing happen. And it's very personal. It's a fascinating thing. And it's really exciting.
And it definitely speaks to the power that culture, art, and specifically music really can bring people together and break down stereotypes and kind of open people's minds to completely new song structure, ideas, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. You're seeing this new wave of artists kind of do things that you would have heard from Western artists, for example, and they're doing it by, in a way that adds kind of their own flair or their own identity to it. Whether that's mixing multiple languages, whether that's using traditional, Arab instruments, for example, alongside, early 2000s R&B or drill rap or Afrobeats. It's a really cool thing to see that. And so, whether or not folks understand Arabic or speak Arabic, you don't have to understand the language to feel the rhythm, if you will, and kind of feel the vibe of what these artists are creating.
So, Danny, you mentioned this really starting to shift in the past 3 to 5 years, let's say. What are some of the reasons you think there has been this cultural shift?
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons. I mean, I do want to first say that this is not, the first time that Arabic music has gone global or that there haven't been attempts in the past. I mean, we've had artists from the region, go and tour, different parts of Europe or different parts of the United States, for example. You've had songs kind of make their way through Southeast Asia or even East Africa. The difference now is that it's kind of happening across multiple facets of culture all at the same time. So what you're seeing, for example, are, big Western produced TV shows like Rami on Hulu or Mo on Netflix or Moon Knight on Disney Plus, all using Arabic music kind of as a storytelling device and less so as sort of this nefarious, trope of Orientalism or racism in a way that kind of depicts those stereotypes of our communities. So you have that on one end. You have things like Spotify, Apple Music, or in the Middle East, North Africa, you have Anghami, which is kind of their version of that streaming platform, along with TikTok, really breaking down those traditional gatekeepers of usually, labels and things like that, kind of dictating what gets played and what doesn't get played on radio and that nature. And it's easier access for people to kind of dig in if they want to dig into to our artists and Arabic music. And then you have the rise of big global events like the World Cup, which really end up putting that culture on display more prominently. One of the main FIFA anthems, it featured, Nicki Minaj, it featured Colombian star Maluma, and it featured Lebanese pop singer Miriam Ferres. And the song was performed in English, Spanish, and Arabic. And, that song ended up doing, over about 180 million views on YouTube and things like that. So all those things kind of happening simultaneously, they're all pieces of a larger puzzle. And we're seeing everything kind of move in tandem together. That really feels like that really feels like the biggest difference here.
Yeah, you had a great quote in your story for Pitchfork. The world is getting smaller, which is helping the Arab culture to grow. We have more access to it. It's more in front of us, whether that's, music in a television show or something coming across and becoming an earworm from TikTok. And it's completely opening up the floodgates. And, you mentioned the idea of course, yes, there have been artists from the Arab world that have made headway in Western culture on the charts or touring here. But there's still so many milestones to go. I mean, one example you brought up was an artist that's going to be at Coachella coming up here pretty soon, performing at this massive outdoor festival in California. And it's unique because it'll be completely performed in Arabic. And you say that's a first for this festival.
Yeah, it is a first to have a set fully sung in Arabic like that. You know, we've had Arab artists at Coachella perform in the past, and we actually have a few this year. But Eliana, who is Palestinian, she will be performing her entire set in Arabic. And, you know, I don't think the moment is lost on her. I think she understands what that means for not just the Arabic language, but really for Arab culture and her Palestinian identity. And so it's a huge deal to kind of see our artists on these platforms and finally kind of being recognized in that way. You know, throughout, you know, my interviews for this story, every single person brought up Latin music as kind of the bar, right? You know, and Latin music took decades. You know, it really took decades for it to get to the point where it is today. And, you know, yeah, you had success in the 2000s with reggaeton, for example, really getting more radio play. You've had success even before that with artists trying to cross over with salsa music, with things like that. But, you know, when Despacito really came out, that blew open the door, I think, for Latin music to be this incredible global phenomena. And Bad Bunny, who, you know, was already kind of a star in his own right, essentially built on that foundation of Despacito. And he, you know, really set the tone now for what it can look like for a genre of a different culture or of a different language that isn't English to really be truly globally popular. And he and other artists are doing that. And so I think everybody in the Arab kind of music scene sees that and says, well, why can't we do it? And that really is the goal for everyone.
You brought up Eliana. I've got one of her tracks queued up here. It's one of the tracks that Danny Hajar included in his great story for Pitchfork called Arabic Music is on the Brink of a Global Breakthrough. I believe it's pronounced Sukkar. Is that correct?
It's pronounced Sukkar, yeah. Sukkar means sugar in Arabic.
Let's go ahead. This is one of her latest singles. We'll check it out right now here on Culture Shift. Music from Eliana here on Culture Shifts. One of the artists that Danny Hajar profiled and talked about in his story for Pitchfork called Arabic Music is on the Brink of a Global Breakthrough. Really, really dig that track. And she's definitely got a little bit of a hold on the Western market. Of course, we talked about her performing at Coachella coming up here completely in Arabic. First time that's been done. There's another artist that you profiled, an Egyptian artist named Wiggs. Tell me a little bit about this performer.
Wiggs, I mean, I could go on for days about Wiggs. He's one of my personal favorite artists, but you know, he's arguably the biggest artist right now in the region. He's been the top most streamed artist on Spotify in Egypt for the last 3 years, and this year he was the top streamed artist in the region on Spotify. And he's been killing it. He's not only doing well, in Southwest Asia, North Africa. He, sold out O2 Shepherd's Bush in London. He performed at the World Cup. He was the first Egyptian artist to do so. He's now, getting into acting and things like that. I mean, he's really doing a lot of different things. And, his base, his foundation is hip hop and rap, at which he's very good. But he started to explore other genres too, like Afro pop and disco and things like that. So he's really kind of on the forefront of that creativity, in my opinion.
Tell me about this song that you selected in your article for Pitchfork. You talked about it being really vulnerable, really personal track from Wiggs.
Yeah. So the song is called Al-Bakht, which is Arabic for the luck. And it's a very different sound for Wiggs in general. You know, typically when you hear him again, it's very hip hop heavy. It's very, rap heavy in that way, even the production and things like that. But this song is, a little bit softer. It has much more of an Afro beats, Afro pop kind of vibe, which is a little new for Wiggs. And, when I talked to him for the story, one thing that he mentioned to me was wanting to be very intentional about his connection to the African continent, given where Egypt is situated. And so, that was something that he tried to do with this song. And this song is by far his most listened to song, kind of across the board, really. And so it's a different direction for him. It's really about kind of, love and loss in a very vulnerable way for him that, you really hadn't heard before. It's profoundly beautiful. And so that's why I chose it. And I think it's a great track by him.
And you're checking it out right now here on Culture Shift on WDET.
استغربتها امال فين نبتي حبيبي انا بضحك على خيبتي يا اخي كنت عالثبات وهزتني واللي فات ده كان سحري مش باجي على بلهنجة سيرتي انا بالي معاها مش ملكي قالت كلام قبل ما تشوفني عارفني صعب ومش مفهوم كلامي دبش ومش موزون او بتحب حد والبال مشغول ما شفتهاش ولا حد يلومني ملاك بريء ولا انا مخدوع هي توتر ولا انا مهزوز او اذى احد والكل مرفوض ولا القصه حبيبي فدني اللي اذوك يا ما حبيبي سيبني اخلي الجاي ورود وشموع يتغنى لها وبصوت مسموع ولا القصه حبيبي فدني اللي اذوك يا ما حبيبي سيبني انسيك ماضي كله دموع ولا ما اقدرش اسيبك موجوع سحرتني ولا سحرت لي وعيون مش محتاجة تسحر لي مش عايزة تجيبني بس جابتني ونسيتني وفي قصتي حبستني ولا وقعت بفكر فيك كتير بالي عليك مشغول وانا بتصعب علي حالي وانا بكتبلك كلام معسول بعيد عن عيني وعيني مع غيري ومش مبسوط ده انا ضيع عمري
Music from Wiggs here on Culture Shift, Al-Bakht. One of the artists profiled by Danny Hajjar in a story for Pitchfork, talking about the rise of Arab music, breaking through in a lot of new ways. Really, really digging the sound. And Danny, this does feel like a new generation coming from the Arab world. How different musically is this from things we would have heard in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, it's very different. I mean, it's been fascinating to kind of see the evolution of Arab pop in particular. I mean, you've had, you know, kind of in the 80s and 90s and the 2000s, and even still to this day, from some of the, you know, more mainstream Arab pop artists, something that feels a little bit more formulaic. You kind of come to expect what the beat structure is going to sound like, what the themes are going to be. You know, those artists rarely kind of drift away from that, for better or for worse. These new artists are trying to put a different sound to it. So you've got artists that are doing kind of drill rap, which is, you know, something that you would have really only heard from Western artists, for example. You've got artists that are trying to do, I've heard an Algerian artist do bachata music, which was a really cool thing. You know, I've heard, you know, other artists kind of do sort of this fun R&B kind of vibe. And it all feels new and it feels very different, because what they're essentially doing is taking music that we would have listened to by Western artists and make it their own and add their own kind of flair to it. And so it provides kind of a fresh and updated sound.
Danny Hajjar, he is a music writer who recently wrote the story "Arabic Music is on the Brink of a Global Breakthrough" for Pitchfork. It's a really fantastic read. People can check it out at pitchfork.com. I'm going to end on this song that I think was my favorite one that I discovered from reading your article. Lena Lubani, "The Snake." What can you tell me about this artist?
She's incredible. She's really, you know, got kind of she's up and coming, and I think she's going to be a big star one day. But she's doing some really fascinating, you know, music right now. She's trying all sorts of genres. But she got a lot of attention on TikTok in particular, not even just from the song, but from actually a video of her mom reacting to her singing in English and Arabic. And that's essentially how the song kind of blew up, which I thought was really, really cool. And so The Snake is kind of her claim to fame, but she's got a lot of other tracks that I definitely encourage people to check out, too. She's really great.
We're going to play that track from Lena Lubani here in a second, but I think I've got to end on probably my favorite quote in your entire story, Danny. You were talking to a rapper, and he said, "You enjoyed our hummus, you enjoyed our shawarma, you enjoyed our falafel. Arab music is about to take over, and I have to censor the rest of it." But I really love that idea, that quote, and that confidence. Very, very excited to see what comes out next. And Danny, thank you so much for taking the time to run us all through it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed the conversation.
All right, let's wrap up on this track, Lena Lubani with "The Snake," here on Culture Shift.
Bright yellow eyes staring into my soul, singing sweet lullabies while they measure my skull. Turn off the lights, feel her rattle her bones. A big appetite forcing me to let go.